back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I am Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We're located in Spokane, Washington. Been here for a couple decades plus, about 25 years. I've been in business buying and selling all forms of rare coins and precious metals and interesting times. Been, you know, over the years kind of doing the show for maybe 15 years or so, I guess, and it's just interesting as you study this stuff and watch it. Even when I was back in banking and becoming more or less mainstream, I guess is what I call it, looking forward to not looking forward positively, but looking into the future, there's a lot of things that pop up and show up and present themselves in a certain way that looked, you know, ominous. In other words, things like people trying to figure out in the Bible where it talks about the mark of the beast, what's that going to be, you know? And there's people that, whether they believe in the Bible or not, they all seem to understand the significance of it. And that's one thing I'm seeing here is a real lead up to this stuff with all this corona stuff. And I am becoming very concerned about what is actually taking place around us. What surprises me is how, amicable people are and willing to just lay down their souls and their lives and not question what's being pulled on us. What we do for a living is we're in the precious metals industry, and trust me, it's been a lot of work, and I've had ups and downs, and I've just seen a lot over the years. I work a lot, I work hard, I work too much. There's, you know, you buy and sell stuff, but you get barrels and buckets of stuff all over, and you got to organize and sort, and you have people buying coins, and it's hard to teach employees what not to buy. There's a lot of things they buy in collections and estates that they're very time consuming, and they don't amount to much, and the time you put in is far greater than any revenue you can ever get out of them relatively. And so that kind of stuff's super time consuming, and you know, that's things we've been trying to work on here. And even, like, people know Court passed a few weeks ago, but he was a natural hoarder. He just bought to accumulate. He didn't buy to sell. And it was my job to sift through and organize and sort. And then once I got it under control, then he'd do the investment packages and whatnot based on what I'd pulled out or set aside. But our business is, you know, we want to buy and sell. Obviously, we don't want to hoard. I have my own holdings. Don't get me wrong. I'm a very firm believer in the metals. I have a ton of them myself. A ton might be an exaggeration, but I have a lot in my own personal holdings, and I also have a lot of numismatic coins, good quality, liquid product. If you don't know the coin market, there's stuff that it's just liquid cash. That's the hardest thing for people to comprehend about what we do, is it's liquid cash. People will get frustrated, okay? They come in and write a check. We have a 10 business day waiting period, holding period for private personal checks. You own the metal the minute you come in. So if you come in with 10 grand or 20 grand or whatever, you write a check and buy metals, you're locked and loaded that day. The metal goes into our safe for a 10 business day hold, but it's yours. Only thing that makes it not yours is a problem with the check. Well, some people get frustrated and they're like, oh, the check cleared my bank on this day and all this. It's like, it doesn't matter to us because obviously, I have a strong banking background. I've seen it all. I've, as far as money goes, I've seen it all, literally. It's crazy, the stuff I've seen. I've seen checks come back after a month. You're like, how's that possible? Counterfeit American Express, like, I don't know, bank checks that were, the paper was stolen internally, and on the entire routing number, they had it all right, but the last digit was off by one. The check sat at the Federal Reserve for, you know, obviously weeks before they figured out it was bad, and before they heard back from American Express, I suppose, because I sure went through a lot trying to get response out of them. But that was a month. We've seen, you know, we've seen other checks where people have a hold on their account. They do a deposit of a substantial amount of money from a brokerage or something, and it's in their account, and their bank won't give them access to the funds, and they hold up our check. We've had a situation a while ago, in other words, where they held it up for a week and a half and then bounced it. So I guess, you know, I don't need to go into all that, but just to say, the reason we do a two-week holding period is very well justified. When someone's trading a piece of paper with a signature on it for what I like to call God's money, you know, we have to be careful. What we sell is the most liquid form of currency or capital in the world. It's the real deal. It's cash. It's money. We've been trained to think, we call what we carry in our hand, Federal Reserve notes, we call it money. It really isn't money. It's fiat currency. It's a form of exchange that operates based on faith. You and I, if you have a piece of paper, you and I have to agree there's value in that paper. That's faith. What's hard for people to comprehend is that there is intrinsic value in a precious metal. A precious metal was divinely created, divinely discussed, described, inspired, authorized, biblically authorized, everything. People just struggle with it. And no offense, this is going to be sexist. Women struggle with it a lot more than men. I mean, women, I run into situations with couples all the time where I don't know why, and you can get mad at me, I'm just the messenger telling experiences. They'll be totally comfortable with having their money in a mutual fund or some stock account somewhere. They feel good about that. But owning something that you physically possess, basically untitled real estate, liquid, anonymous, transportable, untitled real estate, they struggle with. Maybe it's habit, maybe it's convenience, maybe it's, you know, I can't really say it's security because biblically, the other thing too is if you're in touch, if you will, with the Bible, you know, the metals are very, very well established throughout the whole Bible. They're not just pretty decorations. I mean, God built his second temple out of them, out of gold. The second temple is the Temple of Solomon. That's the granddaddy that the Babylonians walked off with. Because I think it was Hezekiah, didn't listen to Isaiah or whatever, and, you know, off that went, or whoever, I may have butchered that, anyway, we'll leave it there, but it goes all the way back to second chapter Genesis, all of a sudden he's mentioning it. You know, this stuff's profound. I guess it just depends on how much faith you put in God and his word. It's the only things, as I've said, that are biblically attributed as true wealth throughout all of written human history and the Bible. Gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones. Each of them has their own personality. Gold and silver, which is precious metals, you know, platinum, palladium, and rhodium as well. Rhodium, you can forget. We're not into that much. But platinum and palladium, some or whatever, it's out there. There's a lot of it, and it's used in all kinds of things. And gold and silver, they have divine properties. They have properties that are contrary to the second laws of thermodynamics, or all the laws of thermodynamics, and yet they're inanimate objects. So they have really interesting properties and principles. They're beautiful. You know, gold's infinitely divisible. It, you know, the more you burn it and refine it, the prettier it gets. Silver's the same way. People don't realize silver's being consumed constantly. I mean, they use it in endless. There's such a long list of industrial uses, and it gets lost. Some of it's recovered, but the majority of it's lost. The available amount of above-ground silver at any given time is far below the available amount of above-ground gold because they're consuming it all the time. They're mining it more because they need it more. But these elements are true wealth. The value is intrinsic. It is built into the item, into the element. Why? God said. Why else? Because it's amazing. You have to dig it out. You know, it's all based on supply and demand and use and need and desire. From the beginning of written human history, gold has been used to make jewelry, and it's beautiful, and it's been used for all kinds of things. Even you go back to some of the pseudographical scriptures like the book of Adam and Eve, which were all over the Dead Sea Scrolls, but had been canonized out by the Catholic Church, just like the book of Enoch, which Jude, as it says in the Bible, the brother of Jesus, whatever that means, different theories on that. But it says, he says, according to the prophet Enoch, and then he quotes directly from the book of Enoch. Well, that's one of the primary qualifications in order to make it through the canon. But the Catholic canon at that point kicked it out. There was things in there they didn't like. Things that are a little bit big, real amazing, crazy stories, and prophecies of things that sounded like they might be, you know, associated with large organized church groups or something at the, you know, or whatever. But I mean, they kicked it out. So when you start to look at like the book of Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve were booted from the garden, if you will, we always think about it in a real simple terms. Well, the book of Adam and Eve talks about, and it's, by the way, it's not translated the best. It's translated a little bit childish, and I've tried to track down the original Hebrew on it, and I've gotten some of it, but not all of it. But when they were kicked out, it says, I believe, I don't have the dates exactly right, but it says they spent about a year trying to get back in. And wouldn't that make sense? I mean, the Garden of Eden was the adult womb. God knew we'd fall. He knew we had to choose free will, the knowledge of good and evil and all that. We had to do it in order to choose to be with him eternally. If God didn't know we were going to fall, why was there finite borders on the Garden of Eden and the rest of the earth awaited? But the point is, after they'd been there about a year and there was a cherubim guarding it and all that, and finally, I think it says that God finally agreed. He gave them some angelic assistance, obviously, because Lucifer was now prevalent on the earth and trying to take them out, because if he could kill Adam and Eve, he could destroy the human race, and that'd be that. And God gave Adam some gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Interesting, isn't it? Exactly what Christ got. Golden rods, it said. Whatever those were. We don't know the origin of gold on the earth. We don't know the whole geographical history of the earth. We know about the Great Flood. We don't know what impact that had on the earth. And I can only imagine it was pretty profound. Major catastrophic construction issue there, and you know, there's all kinds of stuff. So I don't know what a golden rod is, but it does say later that as the flood approached, that Adam and Eve, well, Adam had it, and then basically it was told to Noah and Enoch, I believe, to bury Adam's body in the middle or center of the earth, which was the dry landmass, which was in the Egyptian area, the pyramids, the Temple of Apollos, probably, as well as these golden rods and whatnot. And then the story goes on from there in other writings that these wise men that came to see Jesus had recovered these golden rods from the pyramids or that area and brought them and gave them to Jesus, supposedly the very first gold that had been given to Adam and Eve. True or not, I don't know. But it's interesting that they would carry that lineage with gold. You go to the, you know, references to heaven. I mean, I've discussed this, but folks, it's everywhere. It's not just, you know, the streets of heaven are paved in gold. People laugh and they go, oh, you know, the joke where someone, you know, dies and they're told, you know, St. Peter's at the door type thing. And I'm not very good at these jokes, but that he, somehow they are allowed to bring anything they wanted to heaven, anything they want, anything they could carry. And a guy shows up with a huge brick of gold. And Peter answers and said, what'd you bring? And he goes, I got this huge brick of gold. And he goes, well, why did you bring pavement? You know? And it's kind of a stupid joke, but the point is there's so much gold in heaven, it's like, you know, why'd you bring your own? So people go, well, see, it's all over heaven, it's just pavement. Heaven is not a poorly built, shoddy operation. It's God's absolute greatest, best, and finest. It's massive. You do the math on it, and even if you take the dimensions that the Bible tells us heaven is, and you structure it as a pyramid, which there's a number of indications of that, because Christ refers to himself as the capstone and the cornerstone. That can only happen on a pyramid. As you do the volume, internal volume, using a pyramid instead of a cube, because it says it's 1,500 miles wide, tall, and deep, or whatever, even with the pyramid, and then if you take half of that internal space and you put like the equivalent of floor space, like every 100 feet on half of it, you end up with more flat, livable space than all of the dry land mass on Earth. So heaven's got a lot of room to roam, and that's with tons of open space and, you know, whatever, who knows. But the thing is the Bible's clear there's gold all over. The point of what, you know, the Bible's telling us isn't that gold's cheap and junky, so God used it in heaven. The point is that God is using his very best, the absolute best of the best. Now, where does God get the gold? That's a silly question. Obviously, he makes it, but I don't think he snaps his fingers at that point. You know, it's being produced somewhere, or, you know, maybe certain angels go get it from other planets, or, you know, who knows? Who cares? Jesus said, I go to build a place for you, and when I'm done, basically, I'll come get you. Well, if it took God 6 days to redesign the earth, and they've been working on heaven for a couple thousand years, preparing it for the big day, it's probably pretty nice. So I guess where I'm going on that, the precious metals, they're biblically endorsed and authorized. They've been around forever, folks. They're money. And if you're confused about it, you don't need to be. But you can't think about it as a speculative investment. What you think about it as is money. You're not investing in gold. You're transferring your hard-earned wealth, your work energy. That's what money is. You take your work energy. Somebody gives you a transferable, fungible form of currency that is, you know, collective of what you've accomplished, and then you spend that, and so that work energy transfers into wealth. That's when it says gold and silver, livestock, real estate, and human life. Humans are the only things that can create wealth. That's why we need the other things. Precious metals are the one thing that stand on their own. I'm just saying. You can be completely comfortable with that. It's not, oh, I should have bought it lower. I hear this stuff all the time, and oh, I was going to buy it a month ago and 2 months ago, and you didn't. And the thing is this is not, this market, you know, is up quite a bit. You know, at least silver's up 50, 60, 70% in however many months, you know, in a few months, and gold's up about, you know, probably what, 35, 40% in a few months. Gold's a little more of a steady climber. But you don't get obsessed with, you know, yeah, when you're doing certain things, you buy low, sell high. If you need money, you know, to buy something in September, you don't buy metals in August. I mean, it's just, there's too short of a window there. You could, I suppose, but it's a little risky. But it's risky with anything. At that point, you just put your money aside and wait. But with everything going on, we've got hyperinflation so bad, it's beyond our wildest dreams. And then when you combine all these things that are going on, I can't even believe it. I am so agitated and frustrated in my spirit. And, you know, people are like, Well, God's in control. You know, folks, God is absolutely in control. God is sovereign. But here's the thing. Free will can only be given by somebody who's truly 100% sovereign. If you have the ultimate authority, but you choose not to exercise it, you can allow free will. If you don't, you can't have free will. Look at the difference between what the United States of America was designed to do and what these radical socialist communist countries are. America was designed to allow you to exercise your talents and to achieve the destiny that God has in mind for you. Yes, God has a destiny for each and every one of us. Every one of us is purposeful. And you're like, well, you know, I'm just a biological accident between so and so and so. No, it's not like that. God's in control of all of that. He also is in control of where your spirit came from and what spirit you got. Your spirit could as easily been in Africa or China or Russia or whatever. Whatever makes you who you are that God made, that is what comprises the person you are. Then he gives you this vessel, this body. And there's a parable of talents. It doesn't mean the person who gets some super track body that can run, you know, 25 miles an hour and break records and jump 7'8" on the high jump. It doesn't mean that they're a superior being. They're given a different set of talents. Some of us are given a real challenge. Some of us are given major health challenges in our lives, in our bodies, real hard stuff, you know. That's a talent. It's a responsibility that we owe God. What'd you do with what I gave you? It may not be easy, you know, and then there's always, you know, rewards in heaven and all that kind of stuff. But each of us has to take and look at what God gave us and then exercise our free will to make good decisions to do the best. There's nowhere in the Bible where God just tells us to kick back and do nothing. I know there's, you know, be still and know that I am God. Well, you know, there's a time and a place for everything in prayer and meditation. But we don't read stories about all of these great spiritual leaders in the past that just sat and did nothing and just kicked back on the shore of a river and just said, well, God's in control. You know, no, they went out. They did things. They allowed God to work through them. And we have to have the momentum, but we got to believe. We got to think positive. We've got to be positive. We've got to believe. That's where God tells us, if you have this much faith, I can do this. You can move a mountain, hypothetically, I suppose. But, you know, who knows? Maybe some people have moved a mountain and maybe God erased the memories of the rest of us so we didn't think, you know, that was crazy. It's kind of interesting how God keeps everything on the fringe so that we have to continue to live by faith. It says faith is believing in things unseen. So God, you know, people are like, why doesn't God come down and do this? I've heard people say, if God came down in front of me right now and performed miracles, I would believe in him. I've literally had people say that. And I'm like, well, you missed that because they already did it. And it didn't work too well. They tried to kill him. You know, but it's... He leaves us in a state of faith. I don't understand it. I don't understand that accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior and turning your heart and life over to Christ and a lordship decision, all of that is invisible and intangible. I mean, isn't that weird? He judges us for our actions. If you don't believe so, read the parable of talents. The guy who blew the one talent, buried it in the ground out of fear. The guy who buried it in the ground was cursed. God called him a wicked, lazy servant because he didn't do anything. He didn't even try, you know, and you know those people. Or maybe we've all been there where we just sit around and we don't do anything. I mean, we can't. That's not what God calls us to do. We've got... You know, we've got to go out. He says, if you knew I was such a hard man and, you know, I didn't earn anything or deserve it, why didn't you at least go get me interest in the bank? So God's like, you could have at least had my money working for me at one level, some level. you know. But it's interesting, the whole, it's the spirit that he's talking about. It's that spirit of kicking back and going, hey, man, you're God, you're the master. I knew, you know, you're going to do what you want. When he says, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you don't sow. It's like, hey, it's not fair, man. You're God, you're the master, you're whatever. You know, you're a hard man. You don't even care about me. You just do whatever you want. You take what you want. You give what you want. You know, it's kind of like people are like, well, you allow these terrible things to happen all over the world and all this stuff. And so I just hid your talent because I was afraid of you and I didn't think you're even worth my time. I mean, frankly, that's what he's saying. He's like, you don't do anything. You don't even know what it's like. You know, it's kind of what he's saying. And God's like, now that is an attitude problem. That's just sitting back going, hey, I may not like it, but I'm just going to kick back and let the master do his thing because he's got it way better than I do and he doesn't care about me or whatever. So, no, we have accountability. Each and every one of us has got to do something. And procrastination is a terrible disease. You know, there's the scripture in Proverbs that says where, you know, the man doesn't go out, he says there's a lion in the streets. Well, obviously there's no lion in the streets, but the point is there's always an excuse. There's always an excuse not to do a good job, not to follow through, not to do the best you can, you know. It's never ending, the excuses that we can come up with, but that's not what God doesn't want us doing that. God wants us taking accountability. And personal responsibility. And so, anyway, I guess basically where I'm at on this stuff, folks, there's so much going on right now that's so serious. In my book, it is serious, serious stuff. It really is serious stuff. And we're facing some of the most unique times in history, for sure. And I guess what I was saying when I started is where do we stand on this stuff? Why are we so compliant? Why are we so willing to turn everything over to somebody else to basically duplicate what seems to be biblically written of stating, you know, like the Mark of the Beast situation? I mean, when I'm sitting there looking at this stuff, I am like, you've got this, you know, COVID thing, you know, this potential vaccination that everyone's going to have. You're going to have to prove you have it. They're talking about COVID pass. I'm going to get into some other stuff here that I touched on last week if my computer wants to cooperate with me, but it never does, so why would it now? There's so many interesting theories and stuff. So last week I was covering this article at the end of the show, and I kind of tripped over this thing, you know, where it's talking about unemployment and all this. And I mean, it's just such a dark time. And we've got, and I saw this, no real evidence to support any real deaths by the coronavirus. And then this president of the Bulgarian Pathology Association, Dr. Stoyan Alexov, among others from the European Health Union and stuff, that have broken away and call the World Health Organization a criminal medical organization for creating worldwide fear and chaos without providing any objectively verifiable proof of a pandemic. Then the article goes on. And it says, another stunning revelation from Dr. Alexov, blah, 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 is he believes it's currently impossible to create a vaccine against the virus. Coronavirus has been around forever. They picked the flu of the year, which actually is not that bad this year. And it's propaganda. Tell a lie long enough, people believe it. The bigger the lie, the easier they'll believe it. This is a big lie. This is outside of your imaginative wheelhouse. Whoever came up with this, smart cookies, evil but smart. The coronavirus apparently mutates and transforms itself, and they've been trying to, it causes common cold, a massive quantity of them. There's like 31 or 32 major strains and 200 and some sub-strains, and it it evolves and changes, and perhaps the Wuhan virus, Wuhan lab created a genetically modified strain of it. I think that's very highly likely. There's so much evidence. I mean, you had the transferring of, after the NIH shut down the University of North Carolina, quote unquote, genetic research on this virus. They shut it down, and then soon thereafter, Bill Gates built the Wuhan lab. They arrested a couple professors transporting some virus over there, and there's more information on that. I was talking to a doctor friend of mine this weekend, and that is what, you know, it doesn't make sense. So there's stuff like that that's just not happening. I mean, it's right in our face. So there's obviously that doesn't fit the whole narrative. There's something else going on there. So there's a very high likelihood that this thing is what it is, that it is a genetically modified dangerous strain. But all the people testing positive and all that, it just doesn't line up. So it goes, they also raised doubt about the veracity of claims. Well, here we'll back up a little bit. So it's I can scan all this. It says, they revealed, the European Health Union and this doctor revealed that European pathologists haven't identified any antibodies that are specific for SARS-CoV-2. In other words, they're just picking up coronavirus antibodies and saying you're positive. That's why the extreme prevalence, and that's why the anti-symptomatic or asymptomatic cases are so prevalent. Says these stunning statements raise major questions, including about officials and scientists' claim regarding the many vaccines they're rushing into clinical trials around the world. It also raises doubt about the veracity of claims of discovery of an anti-novel coronavirus antibodies. Novel means new. Anti-novel coronavirus antibodies, which are beginning to be used to treat patients. This new concept that they're taking. Novel or new coronavirus-specific antibodies are supposedly the basis of the expensive serology test kits patented by Bill Gates. So he's making money every time someone gets tested and being used in many countries, some of which have been found to be extremely unacceptably inaccurate. As high as 90% inaccuracy in a lot of these tests. They're purportedly key to the immunity certificates that are planned to be implemented by Bill Gates and are about to go into widespread use in the form of the COVID pass in 15 countries, including the UK, US, and Canada. This Dr. Alexov made these observations in a video interview, May 8th, 2020, European Society of Pathology webinar, etc. And then in this video interview of him by this other doctor, who is the chair of the Center for Protection of Citizens' Rights in Sofia and former blah blah deputy ministers of health and all this stuff, it's on their website. And anyway, it goes into all these details where they ask them, you know, all these people with scientific backgrounds to orally translate the video into English, and then they describe, and I have the translation here, which I won't get into right now for the sake of time. And then they also come out with the leaders of this whole thing. Okay, so you got this whole group of leaders, these world experts. They're very respected, highly decorated, a lot of letters behind their name and a lot of exposure to even like Fauci and all this. All these leaders say that no novel coronavirus-specific antibodies have been found. The body forms antibodies specific to the pathogens it encounters. These specific antibodies are known as monoclonal antibodies and are a key tool in pathology. And it goes through all this immunohistory and all this stuff. I don't want to get too overkill for you. So it says in the absence of these monoclonal antibodies to the novel coronavirus, they cannot verify whether SARS-CoV-2 is even present in the body or whether the disease and deaths attributed to it indeed were even caused by this virus rather than something else. And it's like, you know, they say, and then they cover all this thing. It'd be easy to toss it off as a conspiracy theory and call Dr. Alexov a conspiracy theorist because everybody thinks anything they don't agree with is a conspiracy. And now they've got the spreading dangerous misinformation about COVID-19. That's how you get kicked off of every social media network. And it says, in addition, little of what Dr. Alexoff alleges was the consensus from the May 8th webinar, it's in public viewable parts of the proceedings. In other words, it's all documented well, okay? And so, as I go down here, it says, for the director of the Institute of Forensic Medicine at the University of Medical Center, Hamburg-Eppendorf in Germany, I think is about where I left off on Friday, said in multiple interviews with the media that there's a striking dearth or lack of solid evidence for COVID-19's lethality. And, quote, COVID-19 is a fatal disease only in the most exceptional cases, but in the majority of cases, in the extreme majority of cases, it's a predominantly harmless viral infection. And then another interview, in quite a few cases, we've also found that the current corona infection has nothing whatsoever to do with the fatal outcome because other causes of death have always been present. For example, and I discussed this last week, you know, brain hemorrhages, traumatic brain injuries, actual heart attacks, and all kinds of things like this, even advanced cancer, advanced diabetes and obesity. It's not from a dangerous viral disease. They said it's all speculation. All this speculation about individual deaths have not been expertly examined and are only fueling incredible anxiety. Okay. So, and then it goes on. The main conclusion of those of us who participated in this, research in this webinar was that the autopsies that were conducted in Germany, Italy, Spain, France, Sweden, and so on do not show that the virus is deadly or has had any involvement with these deaths. After they began to discover this, then the World Health Organization came out and has been trying to shut down their research. And he added that Dr. Alexoff added, what all the pathologists said is that there's no one who has died from the coronavirus. And he says, I will repeat that. No one has died from the coronavirus. Now, there's people, everyone knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. I've already been down that road. And then there's people who get mad. And they don't want to be, it's weird. There's people that want the truth and people who don't care. They just want to be right. And there's people that are like, they'll make it up. Oh, I know somebody and but the thing is, none of this is scientifically documented. Dr. Alexoff observed there is no proof from autopsies that anyone deemed to have been infected with the novel coronavirus died only from an inflammatory reaction sparked by the virus, presenting, they say, as interstitial pneumonia, rather than from other potentially fatal diseases which were present. In another revelation of his, he says, quote, we need to see exactly how the law will deal with immunization and that vaccine that we're all talking about, because I'm certain it's currently not possible to create a vaccine against COVID. I'm not sure what exactly Bill Gates is doing with his laboratories. Is it really a vaccine he's producing or something else? Now, folks, you got to remember, Bill Gates has come out numerous times as a hardcore proponent of world population reduction. Why do people that get these enormous amounts of money get this, you can't really call it delusions of grandeur because they really are grandeurous, if that's a word. It's interesting, money is a weird thing. It really does weird things to people. And I don't know of many born-again, believing Christian billionaires. Maybe God doesn't lay that on them. But they get that super elitist, controlling arrogance. You got Facebook and, Twitter. And you got all these major players that think it's their job, George Soros, and then they, you know, they surround themselves with these other people that play along. I don't know what causes that. And it you know, they go on and on, and I don't mean to just bore you to death, but another quote, it says, you know, Dr. Alexoff made still more important points. For example, he noted that in contrast to the seasonal flu, SARS-CoV-2, that's COVID-19, hasn't been proven to kill youth. Says, quote, with the flu, we can find one virus which can cause a young person to die with no other illness present. In other words, the coronavirus infection is an infection that does not lead to death, and the flu can lead to death. So coronavirus is not even as dangerous as the flu, and it's just being pumped up and hyped. So like they said above, why? What are they up to? What's going on here? Why all the chaos? Why all the disorder? I mean, folks, look what's going on around us. We've had all these Russia hoax, impeachment, all this garbage, and now this. And then we've got Black Lives Matter, which, you know, there's probably 85% or 95% of those people are sincerely there to protest. And then you get a small group that infiltrates, destroys things. So we've got people ransacking, vandalizing. We've got our government pumping out welfare dollars, essentially, tearing businesses apart, small businesses, paying people to not work, not giving the businesses any money, transferring all of the revenue to the big boys, to, Amazon and Google. Well, everything's going through Google, but eBay and whoever else. These major players, Walmart, they're getting the benefit of all this, and the small guy is going down. They're crushing all the little businesses. Why? Well, in the Bible, it tells us, without this mark, whatever it is, you're not able to participate in the marketplace. Well, you get rid of all the mom-and-pop shops, and everybody has to go through Amazon or online. Now they got you. And then in China, they got this. They've already got their Kobe pass. You have to have an app on your phone that contact traces you everywhere. Red, yellow, or green. You can be walking along, all of a sudden you're red. You don't know why. You walk by someone who supposedly was red or whatever, and now you can't go anywhere. They shut you down. You can't do a thing. So what happens when you're an enemy of the state? Shut you down. All of a sudden, they get you on this crazy cashless system, right? You have, and they're doing, what are they doing now? And who's behind it? Bill Gates. He's pushing really, really hard to get this cashless system in. He was involved with the last Fed meeting. He's behind all this junk on the cash. I'm not kidding you. I went over that on another show. He's pushing it so hard, and he's harvesting all this data, and he's been trying to gather all this DNA. He's got all the patents and all that information for all this testing. Every test that goes through, he's been saying he wants to gather everyone's DNA. He wants a full genomic map of everyone in the world, you know. I mean, all this stuff sounds crazy, doesn't it? How do you break this stuff up? When is it done? When's it too late? DNA is crazy stuff. I mean, they found, what, the Green River Killer or whatever it was, you know, 40, 50 years later. Arrested him at 71 because some of his relatives had gotten DNA testing, and they had recovered some of his DNA from then. And, you know, it tells everything about everybody. You know, why do they need this? They want to control us. It's money and it's control. It's scary. You got Bill Gates. He wants to control world population. He thinks he's smarter than the rest of us. He's got his Bill Gates Foundation. He's got, you know, years ago, he had five people whose job was to research every organization that requested money, primarily to make sure they had no ties to Christian church or religion. That was his main goal. So, you know, this thing is a farce, and it's been pumped up. We go back, we had it. You know, they were preparing us when Dr. Fauci in 16 says, you know, Donald Trump is going to for sure face the world's largest pandemic during his presidency. And it all comes before the election. I mean, really? When does it end? And are we that chaotic? Our people are so sick of it. And how did they get the media in their back pocket? Have you ever seen the genealogy, if you will, the family tree of all of Obama and Clinton and all of their, you know, intermarriages and family members and connections? And then you go to all, and they're tied in directly to everybody at the top of all these major left-wing media outlets, huge positions in government, powerful position. I mean, they have the whole thing tied down. We, in America, we've been hijacked. We think we're voting. Are we? I don't even know anymore. Hillary Clinton has been, you know, they're pursuing her, and at the same time, she's already getting things in place for the next election to file injunctions. Folks, they want to do this mail-in balloting, and they say, oh, there's no evidence of any corruption ever. And they won't bring up Acorn and all this stuff that, that Obama was involved in, where they had women, busfuls of women, black gals, that were doing voting 14 times a day in different precincts and getting like $50 to $100 gift certificates per vote. You know, it goes on. Now, that's not mail-in balloting, but, you know, they want to, these states want to send out mail-in ballots to every, to the last known address of every single registered voter in their states or counties or whatever it is. People could have moved. I mean, I've moved around. I never go cancel my voter registration when I go to another state. And then what they do is then what? That thing shows up in the mail. Someone fills it out and sends it in. Well, guess what? That's fraud. If it's not yours. And that's the biggest concern. Plus, if it's all mail-in, what prevents them from having a whole batch ready to go, and when the count's tight and they say, well, you know, they want to say that those ballots, now they're saying they don't have to be received by election day. They can be received, you know, X amount of time afterwards. What? Why does that make sense? Well, it gives them the ability to create a bunch of fake ballots, you know, fake election ballots to get the votes they needed. We saw this happen clear back, I think, was it the 90s or whatever, or early 2000s or whatever it was, when Christine Gregoire ran for governor against Dino Rossi. I mean, he won. She objected. They recounted. It got closer. And then they recounted again, and all of a sudden she won. And there was even guys who were counting the ballots that said they found 600 ballots in a pile that hadn't been counted. And coincidentally, the guy who was counting them found his in there too. I mean, is that realistic? But the problem is, because she'd been an attorney general, she'd appointed a judge who was to rule in this case. And because she'd appointed him, he ruled against Dino Rossi and made it real difficult. And he just finally said, it ain't worth it. And he moved on because it would have taken so long. That just shows you how you can steal an election. Or when, you know, the Bush-Gore thing down in Dade County, Florida, and, you know, we were down to the wire. The one advantage we have with Trump is he's already in the office, so he's already sitting there. So to get him out, if, you know, if he wins, is pretty difficult. But I'm telling you, folks, they've done everything wrong, everything bad. They're hijacking this country. They don't respect the Constitution. They're not loving America. They're not proud of who we are. They're tearing down our history. They're rewriting it. You know, you remember watching these terrorists in the Middle East go into these states and tear down all their statues, all their history? That's how you strip away a culture's identity. You take away their past. Make sure they don't know who they are. Well, guess what? America knows who we are because of how we got here. This is the most evil attack on this nation. And then on top of it, you've got Joe Biden, who's obviously completely mentally incompetent. It blows my mind that people are so left or right, and that's how they control the masses. They don't care how incompetent Joe Biden is. They say, well, he looks like a nice man. I've seen these interviews. A nice man? You're so clueless on, I mean, there's arguments that it's the toughest job in the world. I mean, look at Donald Trump's face, man. That guy's tougher than nails, and he, you know, his face has changed. He's stern and serious. He's been chewed up and spit out by a thousand cuts, you know. He's had friends turn on him and all kinds of stuff. Crazy people. John Bolton most recently. I mean, these people, they're hideous what they do. It's too much. The burden's big. The media's all over you all the time. They're not seeking the truth. That's the problem in all of this. No one's seeking the truth. And then you get Bolshevik Bernie Sanders. You got Joe Biden saying he's agreeing to Bolshevik Bernie Sanders' manifesto. His manifesto is more radical and left-wing than anything Karl Marx ever drew up. Karl Marx even later said that there were definite loopholes in his system that would need to be changed for it to ever be effective. But when you've got Biden adopting the most radical left-wing socialist policies you've ever heard of, and I mean, with our deficit at pushing $30 trillion, and you got Bolshevik Bernie hitting $77 trillion in his New Green Deal, what's that all about? New Green Deal, it's green cash to whoever they want it to go to. That's what's green about it. We have hyperinflation right now consuming your dollar, folks. Anyway, this Alexov thing will kind of wrap up here. They're talking about there's all these severe maladies such as Kawasaki-like disease and stroke in young people who were deemed to have a novel coronavirus infection. However, the majority of published papers on these cases are very short and include only one or only a small handful of patients. Moreover, commentators on the papers note it's impossible to determine the role of the virus because the paper's authors did not control sufficiently, if at all, for confounding factors. This is also new science, okay? I have a strong background in applied mathematics and statistics. I mean, controlling for factors or outside variables is everything. If you don't control for that, you don't have a true study. You can't make deductions. You could say, you could go to Afghanistan and say, you know, every person who's ever walked through this village has been shot at. You know? So there must be bullets flying in the air all the time. No, it's like, you've got confounding factors. They're walking right through the enemy's territory. It just, you know, there's common sense and then there's not common sense. And people, you don't go to studies with the outcome and try to make it fit because it's the popular thing. That's the one thing I was talking about earlier with even people that hesitate on the precious metals investing. They just want to fit in. They don't want the friction. There's people that are so afraid of what they call confrontation, everything becomes confrontation. And they're afraid of people disagreeing with them. And then they start to make decisions that are terrible for them and their family and everything else. And it can get to the point of cowardice. You can run and you can try to hide, but there comes a time we've got to stand up. It says here, the World Health Organization is creating worldwide chaos with no real facts behind what they're saying. And it's obviously very stressful, and there's all this stuff. This other doctor, it says, disclose the pathologist. It says, I'm really sad that we need to follow the WHO's instructions without even thinking about them. And it's like, it says, in Germany, France, Italy, England, Spain, so on, they're starting to think that we shouldn't follow the World Health Organization so strictly. And instead, when we're writing the cause of death, we should have some pathology results that back it up, and we should follow the protocol. And it says, that's because when we say something, we need to be able to prove it. These are doctors regrounding themselves. And then it says, they also observe these diseases are being exacerbated by the fear and chaos surrounding COVID-19. I got to talk fast here. Here's another quote from another doctor. We know that stress significantly suppresses the immune system, so I can really claim 200% that all the chronic diseases will be more severe and more acute per se, specifically in C2 carcinoma. Over 50% of these are going to become even more invasive. So I'll say that this epidemic isn't so much an epidemic of the virus. It's an epidemic of giving people a lot of fear and stress. This is a pandemic of fear. And people are controlled by fear. And this other doctor, or Dr. Alexoff, because in my opinion, the coronavirus is not that dangerous. And how people are going to have trust in me doing cancer pathology, much of which is related to viruses as well, but nobody's talking about that, and so on. So I think that pretty much gets the point across. I think you understand that somebody's, doctors are looking at this and saying, okay, this is not fit anything we've ever done before. This isn't how science works. This is off, a lot of this stuff started with, it takes place in these socialist countries, create pressure, create chaos, create rebellion, create rioting, get people to freak out, and all of a sudden you get control of everything. You think about even the way Obama jammed through Obamacare, just ram it through. I mean, folks, these people, the left, have done this to this country forever. They're tearing us apart, and we've got flags burning and all this. And I'm just telling you, go all the way to the extreme. Look for proof. Go find proof. Not anecdotal stories of Mary's brother's uncle's sister's friend that died. And, I do know people personally have had relatives die. Three in one case where hospitals have tried to call it coronavirus and it wasn't. Okay? So do your research. Be smart. Be prepared. I don't know if this is it, but it's close. So thanks again for tuning in. Appreciate it. If you want to secure your wealth and be wise, which I think you should, give us a call. We'll take care of you. We're pretty tight. Just get the money in. We'll take good care of you, and I'll call you. We could always use nice 5-star reviews on Google, Facebook, and whatnot. Get 3, and we'll give you 2 nice Morgan silver dollars. That's a really good deal right now, folks. I'd do it if I were you. Take care. God bless. Have a great night. Thanks. Bye-bye.